But something happens in John chapter 6 that's very interesting. Jesus starts to kind of talk about something with a little bit more weight. And watch what Jesus says. He says, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. Watch this. So the one who, everybody say, feeds. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. What? Goes on to say, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors, they ate manna and they died. But whoever feeds on this bread is what he's saying. Whoever feeds on me will live forever. Now you have to understand, Jesus before this at one point said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Now, before you start grabbing your purse, this isn't a cult. It's not what we're doing. Not bringing out flesh pieces and blood, although we did just take communion. But Jesus was not speaking literally. He was speaking metaphorically. He was not saying you need to eat my skin and drink my blood. What he was saying, the people that were following him fully understood because they understood idol worship. They understood all kinds of things. So here's what they understood Jesus to be saying. I need to be your one and only. You need to surrender everything. You need to surrender your life. You need to give up everything. You need to follow me. You need to commit to me wholeheartedly because if you feed on those things, you will eat and die. But if you feed on me, you will live forever. So he was talking about surrender and commitment and, you know, obedience and those kinds of things. And they understood it. And so watch what they say. This is interesting to me. All of a sudden they respond back to Jesus and they say, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Everybody say, this is hard. This is hard teaching, Jesus. Go back to all that cute, fluffy stuff. Let's talk about how your burdens are light. You know, let's talk about that. This is hard teaching. Who can accept this? Now, I love this. Theologians say when they say it's hard, that word that was translated to hard meant to tell us that it wasn't hard to understand, it was hard to accept. So it's hard teaching. This is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Now, watch this. Here's the part that blows my mind. And so from that time, from that moment, many of his disciples, watch this, turned back and no longer followed him. Isn't that crazy? Now, it's easy for us because we're on the other side of this. We know Jesus goes on to die on the cross, resurrect from a grave. And when a guy dies and rises from the dead, you listen to what he says, right? Like, that's true. Let me know when there's a second. But it just blows our mind to know that these people were following Jesus, but they were following Jesus because it was comfortable. And so the moment it became uncomfortable, they said, peace, Jesus, we're out. We can't do this. Here's what I want us to understand, that the greatest key to us unlocking God's destiny for our life is discomfort. The greatest key for you to be able to grow spiritually, the greatest key for you to be able to mature, for you to be able to grow, the greatest key is for you to be able to be uncomfortable. Nothing grows in comfort. We don't. When we grow, we have growing pains. Because the way God designed us and the world is anytime something grows, there must be discomfort because it's breaking out of what it's been in. So it's uncomfortable. When I was 18 years old, I wanted so bad to work at the movie theater. I don't know if y'all ever had this ambition in your life, but in our city, that was the place to be. On Friday night, the movie theater was happening. Everybody was there dressed to the nines with their dates. It was just the spot to be. And I thought, how cool would it be if I could be there and be getting paid to be there? You know what I mean? And it just made sense to me. So Brian and I at the time were working at the car wash together, and we had let enough cars get out into the street and stop traffic that I thought maybe it's time for me to change career paths. And so I ran over during my lunch break to the movie theater that was across the street and applied and got the job instantly. So I went through the training, and the Friday came for me to start my job there at the movie theater. And I'm eating dinner with my dad, getting ready to go to my shift. And my uniform was a white button-down collared short sleeve shirt, okay? I had never worn a shirt like that in my entire life. And I had to button it all. I mean, you know, y'all know that one button that this won't even fit on my neck on this shirt. I just show you, you know, got the rock neck happening over here. But I just didn't do that. I didn't button shirts like that. And so I had to wear the shirt like that. And they gave me a clip-on tie. So I had to wear that shirt buttoned or tucked in with the clip-on tie. So I show up to the movie theater and I walk in and the lady tries to put me behind the cash register and I can't follow along with that. And so she notices it, and so she grabs me, and she says, come on, we're going to go stuff popcorn. So they put me over there, and I've got that little shaker you see at McDonald's with the fries, and I'm putting the popcorn in the bags, and then I'm setting the bags under the lamp for people later. So I am in a white collared shirt, tucked in with a clip-on tie, putting popcorn in a bag. You know what I mean? Every man's dream, right? And so I'm already sitting there feeling a little bit uncomfortable about this whole thing. And then all of a sudden I realize that in a couple of hours, all of my friends are going to show up to this movie theater. And they're going to come in dressed to the nines with their dates. And nerdy old Troy is going to be behind, you know, the little clear thing going like, can I get you some popcorn? You know, it's going to be an experience. And so I realize I don't want that to happen. It's very uncomfortable. I don't want it to happen. So my manager happens to come back by and I go, excuse me, ma'am. I don't remember her name. I said, I left something in my car. Do you mind if I go grab it real quick? Dead honest true story, y'all. And she goes, no, go ahead. I got to my car. I started my car. I left and never came back. To this day, they're wondering when I'm going to show back up for my shift. I got home and my dad was like, I thought you were going to work. I was like, read the schedule wrong. You know what I mean? Sorry. Never asked again. He's learning about it right now as he watches this sermon. Like, but it was just something in me, even then, that like, the once it gets uncomfortable, I'm out, right? And if we're not careful, this is how a relationship with God will work in our life. That we're all for God when he's burden or easy and yoke, but when all of a sudden it gets uncomfortable, when there's a moment of discomfort, then we have this feeling, this desire to run away. Listen to me. This is so profound. The avoidance of discomfort is why spirituality, why Christianity will allow deep wounds or sinful patterns to go untouched. This avoidance in our heart to not want to experience something uncomfortable is what will lead us, watch this, to allow deep wounds, hurts that are years and years in the making to go untouched. Sinful habits to go ignored. So the fear and the avoidance of discomfort is why we could come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, sitting in a seat, get up and walk out without healing. Get up and walk out and still be chained to whatever addiction or sinful habit. And then over time, watch this, y'all. Over time, we are stuck in this immature level of spiritual and emotional development. Christian for 30 years. And still a baby Christian. Because this moment of discomfort causes us to walk away from the idea that that sinful habit or that deep wound needs to be ministered to. To experience spiritual growth, you're going to have that hard conversation. To experience spiritual growth, you're going to have to be honest with yourself. To experience spiritual growth, there's going to be a moment where you have to call out that sinful habit. There's going to be a moment where it's going to have to get uncomfortable. There's going to be a moment where it's going to hurt a little bit for us to really experience spiritual growth. Let me say it like this. Watch. To experience spiritual growth, we must allow God to work on areas that we don't normally care to discuss. The area that you don't want anybody to know about. The hidden area that you try to pretend doesn't exist, that you walk around and put a mask on and act like it's okay, that area, that wound, that issue, for spiritual growth to happen in your life, God's going to have to be able to deal with that area. We're going to have to be able to come face to face with an area of our life, watch this, that we want to forget, but God wants to heal. And this is my prayer today. That you came in here today with an area of your life that you've been wanting to forget, and God says, I'm here to heal it. Not only will you not forget it, but we're gonna call it out today so that the Spirit of God can bring healing. I've read a book. I read it every year. It's called Emotional Healthy Spirituality. It's just a phenomenal book in the idea of being spiritually healthy. And the author put together this chart that is one of the best charts I've ever seen in my life. And so it's one of the reasons I come back and reading it. And the chart is called the stages of faith, all right? So I'm going to show you the chart, and I'm going to walk you through it. He says stage one for all of us is life-changing awareness of God. So this is the moment where you came to church. This is the moment where you went to youth camp or you went to a worship service and you met God or God met you. This is the moment where your eyes opened and the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and you went, oh my goodness, God is great and I'm a sinner and I'm saved. This was that eye-opening, life-changing moment. This is when you got saved, right? He says you go from stage one, watch this, to stage two. Now because you had your eyes open to the goodness of God, now you want to learn about God. You want to be a disciple of Jesus. You want to be a follower of Jesus. So you start going to church. You start reading your Bible. You start going to small group and having a Bible study. And you start taking notes during the sermon. And you're so excited about who God is in your life that now it's manifesting in the way that you do things. And then he said, stage three, I love this, moves into the active life. Where he says, now God is, you realize the grace and the mercy and love of God. You start to grow and learn in your knowledge of God. Now you want to do for God. Now you want to serve God's people. And so you join V Kids, or you join the production team or the worship team, or the First Impressions team. You find ways to give back to the God who changed your life. And this is when God is awesome, and this is how church is great, and this is kind of the normal cycle for people. God is great. I'm learning about God. I'm growing in God. I'm serving God. I've met a friend. I'm in a small group. You know what I mean? Like, this is great. Jesus is awesome. But then he talks about this stage four, where he calls it the journey inward. And this is the moment where God wants to bring healing to the area of your life that you've been hiding. You found out about the grace of God, and it was exciting. You gave your heart to Jesus. You started reading your Bible because there's great truth in it, and it meant something to you. You started serving because you love your church, and you love people, and you want to do for God. And God said, okay, now it's time to heal you. So then God goes to inside that area that you haven't talked about yet, that area that you don't bring up in your small group, that area that you don't talk about to your dream team, that area that you just pretend doesn't exist when you attend church. And Jesus goes in to try and touch that area. Now, here's what the author of the book says, and I love this. He says, most people get to this area in between stage three and stage four, and he said they hit a wall. Because nobody wants to do that, because that is uncomfortable. Because when God starts calling out the area in me that's broken, that's hurting, that is rejection or insecurity, it hurts a little bit. And so there's initiative like, ugh. And so he says, what happens, watch this, is he says people bounce off the wall. And naturally, when you bounce off the wall, now you can only go backwards. So watch this. God tries to do something inside, and it hurts, and we don't understand it, so we start to mislabel it. I was offended. I was hurt. And this is where you get that phrase, church hurt. Now, here's what's crazy. I've never heard a gym hurt. I've never heard a grocery store hurt. I've never heard a school hurt or job hurt. You know what I mean? But church hurt is very relevant. And so what happens is we get hit, watch, and then we start to go backwards, and he says, then now all of a sudden we stop serving. Can't serve anymore. Then after that, we stop reading our Bible. We stop attending small group. We stop discipleship. And then eventually we get to the top and we walk away from God all together. Church was awesome and it was fun. I was having a great time and I made a lot of friends. Troy was cool and we were serving and making a difference. But then all of a sudden, God tried to do something deep inside. And it was uncomfortable, and it hurt. And all I knew how to do was to retreat from it. And so all I could do was run away from it. Listen, every time, this happens in my life so many times, I will know there'll be people I'm discipling, and I'll know they'll start distancing themselves from me when they find themselves back in that sinful habit. Because we don't know what else to do with it, so we just run away from it. And watch what happens. Then we're away from God, right? Which is why you hear people say, man, I haven't been to church in 3 years. Why? I got hurt. Well, here's what they don't understand. There is no difference in church hurt and gym hurt or school hurt. People hurt you everywhere. The difference in church hurt, watch this, is that what you felt is the presence of God and the Holy Spirit trying to address something that was deep down that you didn't want to address. And that's not what's happening at work. And that's not what's happening at the gym. So all we can do is label it as church hurt, but we don't really know what it is. And so we retreat. And years go by, and watch this, so we try it again. And we go back to church, and we have this eye-opening experience about the love and mercy and grace of God. And then we remember how much fun it was to read the Bible, and we start reading the Bible again. And then we love our church, and so we start to serve again. And now at that new church, there's a moment where you start to kind of creep into stage four, and the Spirit of God tries to heal that area again, and it's uncomfortable again. And this is the cycle. Boom, we bounce off the wall, we go back. We try it again. Boom, we bounce off the wall, we go back. All because when we get to that wall, we have to come face to face with an area that we want to forget, but God wants to heal. And so it's uncomfortable, and we don't know how to handle it, and we don't know what to do. And so the only thing that our natural sense knows to do is to run away from it. It hurts, so I got to get away from it. Now, let me help you real quick in understanding what the wall is and what the wall is not, okay? The wall is not your daily trials and issues. The wall is not the flat tire that you get in the morning. The wall is not your annoying boss. The wall is not your baby that cries at night and won't let you sleep. That's not the wall. That, my friends, is life. You chose to have that baby. You chose to work at that job. You chose not to air your tire up last night when you know you should have. You know what I mean? That's life. That's just life. What the wall is, the actual wall, is an area of crisis in our life that's flipped our world upside down. It's flipped our world upside down. And watch this. So it's the wall is made up of the incident we experienced and the feelings and the consequences of that incident. So watch this. You had a death of a loved one. Wall. Found yourself in an addiction that you thought you beat, only to find yourself right back in the same habit again. Wall. You got a divorce. You lost your job. Tried to have a baby and you can't have a baby. Something happened in your life that was a crisis. And that crisis flipped your life upside down and it brought in feelings and emotion. And now you have rejection. Now you have insecurity. Now you have shame. Now you have a lack of faith. Now you have anger and doubt in God. And that crisis situation brought these feelings and emotions and it built a wall. And as you're trying to move through that stage for God to bring healing, you hit that wall and God touches that and it hurts. And even though God's trying to bring healing, it's the discomfort and the pain that causes you to want to run. When I was a kid, I'd be outside playing and I'd scrape up my knee or something. And I'd come running in and I'd tell my mom, I got a cut. And every time, so she always said, she said, let's put some alcohol on it. I'm like, no, don't put alcohol on it because it's going to hurt. But what she wanted me to understand is that even though it might hurt, it's going to bring healing. That it could hurt for a moment, but if you'll let it do its job, it'll actually heal the wound that you have. Listen to me. The presence of God, the Spirit of God, the love of God, if you will allow Him, it will hurt for a moment. But if you will allow Him, He will bring healing to that wound. Don't allow yourself to keep bouncing off the wall and going backwards. At some point, we have to be able to submit ourselves to God and say, I know it's going to hurt, but you heal me. You bring healing. Look, this happened. Can we just be honest with God for a second? I thought I was going to always be married. I didn't expect this. Why, God? I thought they were always going to be with me, but they passed. Why, God? I thought I'd always work here, but I lost. Why, God? Why, God? I'm mad at you. I'm angry. Why did this happen to me? Why 20 years ago, 30 years ago, something happened to you, watch this, and you're still wounded by it. But we just push it down and push it down and push it down. And as long as nobody brings it up, we can pretend like it's not there. But it carries weight and impact. And God wants to heal. Here's what I'm learning. That walls are not a one-time event that we just pass through and we're done. But walls are an ongoing situation in our relationship with God. Because we're growing. And because God is a surgeon that is doing a healing work on us. And so He works on one thing. And if we have the ability and we trust God and we push through it, there will only be a matter of time until there's another wall. And God says, with me and us team, I can get you through it again, and we can continue to grow. The Lord was showing me that every incident I've been studying with Peter was a wall. And as he went through it, because listen to me, here's what you have to understand about the wall. The most important thing that we often forget is that we must go through it. We have to go through it. That's why they call it a breakthrough. We can't keep bouncing off of it. We have to go through it. So let's go back to John chapter 6. Watch this. There's going to be a moment here where he interacts again with Peter, and I want you to see what happens, okay? So keep in mind, John chapter 6, verse 67, keep in mind that everybody, you know, majority of people are leaving Jesus. He started talking about, you know, uncomfortable things. They're uncomfortable. So they start to leave, and watch this. It says that Jesus looks over to the 12, and he says, "Do you want to leave too?" Could you just imagine this moment where, like, God is just staring through your soul? You want to leave too? And look who responds. Simon Peter. And watch what Peter says. Peter then says to him, "Lord, where would I go? Where would I go?" He goes on to say, he says, look, he says, "You have the words of eternal life. Where would I go?" He goes on to say, "We've come to believe," watch this, "and we've come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where would I go?" Here's what I love about this. I love that Peter doesn't put on a show. I love that Peter doesn't put on a mask. I love that Peter has no excuses. I love that Peter doesn't step into like religious Peter and all of a sudden go, "Well, let those sinners go. It's not hard for me, God. It's easy for me." Here's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, "Jesus, this is really hard teaching. This is really hard. It's uncomfortable. Jesus, it hurts. And it is hard to accept. But where else would I go?" Where would I go? Peter goes on to say, "You're the only one that has words that give me life. You're the only one that I've ever been around or been in a situation with and actually felt better. I've tried a lot of things. I've tried a whole bunch of things. But you are the only, where else would I go? Where else would I go?" Listen to me. I talk to people all the time that will talk about church service. And they'll say, "Man, I was on my way and I was having a tough time and an argument." And they say, "But when I walked in those doors, when I walked in those doors, I felt the presence of God." Listen to me. It's not this building. It's not me. It's not the TVs. It's not the lights. It's not the music. It's God. So Peter says, "Where else would I go? Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's uncomfortable. But where else would I go?" And then all of a sudden, I realize this. Watch. I realize this entire time that it's God who's been bringing me to the wall. The entire time, it's God who's allowed me to experience him, study him, serve him, and he's brought me to this wall. He's brought me to this moment. And why? Why? Because he doesn't want us living with something that Jesus died to take away. And so this idea, y'all, of spiritual growth, it starts with this moment of discomfort. It starts with a moment of surrender. Realizing that it may be hard, it may be tough, it may hurt for a moment. But there's a difference in pain and healing hurt. Do me a favor, stand with me for a moment. A while back, I was having some problems with my teeth. A lot of pain, and I reached out to one of our elders, and she's in the dentist field, and so she said, "Would you come in to the checkup and, you know, let me look at you?" I came, and she did some work, and it was kind of a tough extraction of a tooth, and so for days, actually weeks after, it was still in pain. And so she would call and check on me, and she would just say, "You know, are you still hurting? Still hurting?" I was like, "Yeah, a little bit." And one day in our talking, I just kind of said this to her. I didn't even really think about it. I just kind of said, "But you know what? There's a difference in hurting pain and healing pain." There's a difference in letting that just stew in us and influence and impact every decision and every response and the way that we view God. And being able to move to a place where we're completely vulnerable and wide open in front of the Spirit of God and allowing that healing to happen, there's a difference. I'm not saying it won't hurt, but it's a difference. There's a difference in healing pain and hurting pain. And so my prayer right now, Father, just in the most incredible way, for every person in this room, that there might be something deep, deep down Father, I pray for that person that experienced rejection. And that rejection is just deep down in their heart. And it's a wall in that idea of them being able to move forward in their life with you. And Father, you want to heal that. For that person in this room that a dream went unfulfilled or a prayer went unanswered. And that's stewing in them, Father, and what's happening is they're struggling with that ability to have faith and trust you again. For that person who something happened and they're struggling with unforgiveness. And this may be hard teaching, but it brings healing. And listen to me, if you're in this room right now and you know that your pattern is to hit that wall and start going the other way, let today be the moment that you break through. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come down. I want to give you the opportunity to have somebody pray with you. A moment, even right in your chair, just a moment of allowing God, just openness right now. Do me a favor, everybody just close your eyes. In this moment, just be open, be vulnerable before God. Holy Spirit, right now, do what only you can do. I can't manipulate, I can't control, but you are faithful. You are faithful, and you are talking to your children right now, to your son, to your daughter, that there's something deep down that's been in the way of a breakthrough, and today is the day that you bring healing. Come on, just however you might do it, put your arms in the air. Come on, lift your voice. Tell him right now. He already knows, but let you have a moment of confession. Father, this is the area of my life. You didn't answer that prayer, and now my faith is struggling. Father, you let that happen to me, and I'm angry at you. Father, this happened in my life, and I feel rejection, and I can't get over it. Father, I need healing right now. Listen to me. If you're in this place and you want somebody to pray with you, come down right now. Come down right now. Come down right now. There is nothing more powerful than somebody being able to pray with you. Come on, it's hard work, but it's healing work. It hurts, but it's healing. You will not be able to grow to the maturity of the spiritual level that you want to until you are vulnerable about what you're trying to hide. And I'm telling you, he's a healer. What I love about him is he's a healer and he's a comforter. He's got great bedside manner. What a moment just to be vulnerable before the Lord. Come on, where you are right now. Come on, where you are right now. Just be open for a moment. Come on, can you talk to him for a second? Don't walk out of here missing out on the healing that God's been promising you. His word promises you healing. And it's not the question of whether or not he can heal. It's whether or not you're willing to let him. So a moment of openness and vulnerability, Father, right now. Like only you can do. I'm asking for healing. Come on, just ask. Just say, God, I'm asking for healing. That you would touch this area of my life. That you would give me forgiveness, security, hope, healing, faith, love, mercy. We're going to begin to worship here in a moment, but I want to continue to invite you down. If you're in this place and you just say, I need somebody to pray for me. I've got an area in my life that I'm struggling with. It happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and I just can't get over it. The Bible says, come to one another and pray for healing, for healing. And here's our cry right now. It's just, I'm not enough. I'm not enough, so I need you. I need your healing.